This study on the I Am sayings of Jesus is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by SpiritandTruth.org. Pastor Paul Hennebury of Agape Bible Church will be our teacher. It is our prayer that our time together will deepen your understanding of the Bible and allow you to draw closer in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's begin our time of study with Dr. Hennebury.
We are now on the subject of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Most of you know this text very well from John 10, verses 11 to 15. Let me read these verses for us, and then we'll explore them together. Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Let me just explain, before we get into this text, the role of a shepherd in the ancient Middle East. In fact, in nowadays too. You know, in the West, the shepherd doesn't know the names of his sheep. He doesn't have any kind of a relationship with his sheep. They're sheep, and his job is to look after them and to shear them and to deal with them as sheep. He doesn't know one sheep from the other, really. Moreover, he calls the sheep. I remember years ago when I spent one pretty awful day, actually, working for a shepherd and helping him to shear the sheep, although I think I was more of a hindrance than anything else. And I remember that he wanted me to go and get the sheep. He wouldn't call the sheep, and in fact couldn't call the sheep. He himself would have to go and get them. He had a certain way of getting them, and I had to follow that, the few certain guidelines he gave me, and I ended up chasing sheep all around the field, much, I'm sure, to his delight. But in dealing with these sheep, there was a definite kind of relationship that they are beasts. They are just things that he is employed to get money from. That's not the way that a shepherd would be in Jesus' time and in Jesus' country. There, the shepherd knows the sheep, stays with the sheep. He would sleep at night out in the open fields with his sheep. He would know each one by his name. They would know him by his voice. And there was an intimate relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. So much so that the sheep would not go after any other voice. Only the voice of the shepherd that they knew, and they would follow him. No need for a sheepdog, because the shepherd would have that relationship with his sheep. So that's the kind of intimacy that Jesus is referring to when he's using this metaphor of the Good Shepherd. Now let's explore what it says in these verses. I first of all want to look at what it means, these two terms that he calls himself, good and shepherd. He doesn't just call himself the shepherd. Any shepherd, as I said, would know his sheep, and Jesus talks about that, knowing his sheep and the sheep knowing him. But he doesn't just satisfy himself with calling himself a shepherd. He calls himself the Good Shepherd. Now, what is meant by this word good? Is he good just because he looks after the sheep and does a good job? Is he good just because he's a good fellow, reliable, hard-working, honest, faithful, the rest of it? No, that is not what Jesus is referring to. Certainly is those things. But when he says he's the good shepherd, remember it's tied to the I am. The fact that he's God. The fact that he is the one who can take up that self-revelation of God as proclaimed in Exodus chapter 3 to Moses at the burning bush. And he can take it up to himself or identify himself as the I am. And so, I am the good shepherd. That word good takes on the connotation of being good in the absolute sense. Wholeness, as well as rectitude, or moral and ethical perfection. Good in his consideration of others. Good in every action. Good in the way that he attends to each and every individual sheep under his care. Good in the fact that he does the job that God the Father has given to him, and he does it in a completely reliable way. So much so that none of the sheep are lost. And that's important. Later on, Jesus, of course, will talk about straying sheep. And he will say, for example, that no sheep will be allowed to get away from his care. For example, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Notice the assurance there. I give them eternal life. They won't perish. How does he know that? How can he be sure of that? No one will snatch them out of my hand. That's how he can be sure. He knows that his sheep have eternal life. They have this amazing gift that comes from the everlasting God, from the creator of the cosmos. This gift is given to the individual sheep that are under the care of Jesus the I Am. Therefore, he is absolutely sure, because he's a good shepherd, the good shepherd, that they will have eternal life. Apply that to yourself. If you know the voice of the shepherd, if Jesus is your good shepherd, then he will give you eternal life. You're not going to perish. You're not going to face the wrath of God. You're not going to go to hell. You will surely encounter tribulations and persecutions, maybe, and certainly troubles in this life. That is promised. But as far as eternity is concerned, well, you will never perish. Because no one is allowed, nobody is permitted, nobody has the power or the guile to snatch any one of us who know Jesus out of his hand. And then he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Notice there, he refers to the ability of God the Father to secure your salvation. And so he is good in the fact that he can do the job that the Father has given to him to save every single sheep that the Father has given to him, to grant them eternal life, to make sure that they follow him into that eternal life. And there isn't anything that the devil and his demons and all of the intriguers and all of the different societies of the world, all of the different people vying for power and who have their fists up against God and think that because they have a little bit of money and a little bit of influence in their little bit of time on this planet, that they have beaten God. Not one of these people has any power over your soul. The Good Shepherd secures your salvation. And so he's good in the absolute sense. Also, notice, he says, I am the good shepherd, not I am a good shepherd. Of course, the word good there, the qualifying word, shows us that there can only be one, because there's only one perfect shepherd, and there's only one who the sheep follow, and there's only one who can grant them eternal life, because there's only one that has been sent to the Father to do that very thing. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is again claiming to be the only one. If he is the good shepherd and you hear his voice, you must follow him. If you hear his voice this morning in the preaching of the word, however feeble my preaching may be, if these words on the printed page come across to you with power and conviction, as the word of God, which is what they are, and you hear his voice, believe it. Believe it. He's the only one. He is the only good shepherd. And then he goes on and refers to the hireling. Now, the hireling is somebody who, he could come up to the pen. The sheep would all be in a pen, and the shepherd would bring them down and put them all in a communal pen, a kind of paddock. And then he and the other shepherds would go off and they would sleep and they would eat and, you know, refresh themselves and so on, ready for their next shift. And they would hire somebody to come in and to look after all the different herds of sheep. The hired hand, therefore, he doesn't know these sheep one from the other. He doesn't know one group from the other. That's not what he's paid to do. He's just paid to make sure that none of them get out. So the hired hand doesn't care for the sheep, and if he sees the wolf coming, then he just leaves them because he doesn't have any kind of affection for them. And his role is not to take care of them in that sense. He flees, Jesus says, because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. What Jesus is saying here is that not only is he the one who you ought to follow, but you can follow him knowing that he cares for you. I mean, he's called you because he cares for you. In this world of such uncertain cares, uncertain friendships, yes, there are some good and golden relationships and friendships out there, but you know, it's an unfriendly kind of a world as well, or it can be. But there is a voice from heaven, there is a person who is eternal, there is the King of glory who cares for you. And he wants you to respond to his voice. So verse 14 says, I am, again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Now, notice here something that's important. I've already alluded to it, but now I want to stress it. I know my own. And again, go back to the figure here of the shepherd in the ancient world. How he knew every individual sheep. He knew what the different proclivities were, the way that they would be, their tendencies to gallop off here, there and everywhere, or the kind of help that they would need, whether they were stragglers or whether they would bolt off in front of everybody, whether they would be nitpicking or whatever. He knew the personalities of these different animals, but they didn't, these different varieties of personalities did not change the way that he thought about his sheep. And it's the same way here with Jesus' relationship as the great I am to each one of us. Do we know Jesus as our Savior? Then he knows you. He has chosen you as an individual. Moreover, remember, Jesus here talks about the fact that the Father had given them to him, and that means that the Father knows you individually, and he's, yes, chosen you individually. So yes, God loves you. Yes, God cares for you. Yes, God's looking out for you. That doesn't mean automatically that God's going to come and deal you a good hand every single day of your life. Many times, and this is important to hear, many times we end up with the wrong end of the stick. Because, not because God wants us to be holding that end, but because we very often have not listened to God's voice and grabbed hold of the right end of the stick. How often in my life have I prayed to God, Lord, just give me some wisdom to deal with this. Give me some help to deal with that. Help me to draw closer to you. These are all good prayers, are they not? And yet, in a very real sense, I knew when I was praying them that God had already done that. God had already given the answer for me. My problem, you see, was that I wanted to bring God to where I was so that I didn't have to do anything. I wanted the shepherd to hear the voice of the sheep and to come to where the sheep was, even if that meant that the shepherd would be in the wrong place. Rather than me listening to the voice of the shepherd that was calling me in his word and coming to be alongside of him. That's where God is calling us to. You understand what I'm saying here, I'm sure. How many of us have asked God to help us out of a mess that we've got ourselves into. We've got ourselves into it because of our wrong thinking or our wrong actions, and the two go together more often than not. Or from being around the wrong people, whatever it may be, but we're in a wrong place. And we know the first thing to do when you're doing something that's wrong is to, what? Start doing the right thing. When you're in sin, you need to stop sinning. When you're not disciplining yourself spiritually in prayer and Bible reading, and good works, then these are things that you need to do. You need to do the spiritual disciplines in order to bring yourself where God is calling you to. Jesus calls us, every one of us who are Christians, and his voice keeps calling us through his word, but I wonder, because we're in the age of the biblically illiterate, that many of us are actually, not only we're not listening to his voice, but we're ignorant. We don't know the Bible well enough to actually recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. I know that sounds harsh. It sounds a bit like a condemnation. I don't mean it as a condemnation. I want to encourage us all to be in the Word of God, not just to read it as a devotional. That's not why it was written. It's okay to read it that way, but that's not the primary reason this great big fat book was written. But as the truth, as the Word of God, written for doctrine, written for teaching, written to inform our minds, written so that our minds would speak to our hearts, written so that we would recall it, remember it, walk in the light of it, hear the voice of the Good Shepherd within it. And then it says here that he lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 11, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's an emphasis here, isn't there then? He doesn't just say it once, he actually says it many times here in different ways in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, that he has given his life for the sheep. This shows a degree of care that someone who was dispassionate, somebody who was aloof, a God who waved his hand to save you but didn't then look upon you again, it's just such a far cry from the God that's depicted here in this verse. Here, the shepherd sees your peril. He sees that your soul, with all of its sin, with all of its rebellion, yes, it's the truth, with all of its pollution, is not fit to enter into the kingdom of God, and will not enter into the kingdom of God. God cannot allow such a thing. He sees the peril. He sees the gates of hell opening up for such people. Yes, you, me, every human being. And he sends the good shepherd, sends himself to lay down his life for the sheep. This means, first and foremost here, it means he hazards his life. He puts himself at risk for you. Jesus knew what he was doing in going to Jerusalem. Remember that his disciples were amazed that he went to Jerusalem. They were amazed that he was determined, bound and determined to go to the place of his enemies and their stronghold. And they followed him. They thought, well, we'll go and die with him. He puts himself at risk because he cares. Also, though, it is through the death of the Good Shepherd that the sheep are assured of life. And I think this is what we need to read into and understand about the clarity of his understanding of the mission here. He wants to give you life. The only way to give you and I life is for him to stare death in the face and succumb to death on our behalf. That cross, what an odd thing to have in a church, to have in a building, to have in a worship service. What is it all about? What is that symbol? Why have it there? It's rather intriguing in one sense, two pieces of wood, one vertical and the cross member across it. It's very symbolic. It's interesting. What's the point of it? The point is that the good shepherd went there, hung there, died there for his sheep. And so he's good in the absolute sense of goodness in the fact that he has sacrificed himself out of love for each one of us. Are you in the congregation today and you're wondering, well, why does he keep talking about those that have trusted in Jesus? Why is he talking about just the sheep? It's because of this. Not everybody in the world is in the fold of the Good Shepherd or recognizes his voice, and not everybody in the world, in fact, the majority in the world, the majority in America, the majority in our town, are not recognized by the Good Shepherd himself as being his. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're such a person that when the Good Shepherd calls, you turn a deaf ear. Maybe there are other voices, maybe your own, that you find more authoritative, you think are safer, you think are wiser, you think will care for you more. I wish I could persuade you to look at this text, to read this chapter, to read this gospel, and just say to yourself, is anyone else willing to go to such extent, such pain, in order to grant you life? Again, remember the text that I read a little earlier. We'll go to verse 26. You do not believe because you are not among my sheep. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Is the cross the only way for salvation, the only way that you can avoid the wrath of God? According to this book, it is. But you only need one way, surely. And it's an easy way, because all you need to do is believe that the good shepherd has died for you. And then you'll hear his voice and he'll call you into his fold. Verse 27 of John 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, he says. Well, that sounds good. Your assurance of eternal life, your assurance of the avoidance of hell and anything that's unpleasant in eternity, your assurance of that which can only best be described with human words as glory, comes from the shepherd himself. You see, he knew that in enduring such recrimination, such pain, such suffering, such humiliation, he was actually the victor. And those that trust in him and his work were also the victors. See, Jesus, the good shepherd, he makes us victors. Not just sheep that follow him and are merely sheep, but those who are loved and cared for and blessed in the family of God for all eternity. Jesus is the good shepherd who has laid down his life for the sheep. Now the only thing for us to do is hear his voice. To the Christian here, I say, listen to his voice. That means when you hear it, you come to him. Don't expect him to come to you. He's right. You're wrong. You need to be where he is. Hear his voice. Hear him when he calls you away from that friend who with the foul mouth and the worldly ways. Hear him when he calls you away from that TV program that you shouldn't be watching, from that computer screen that you are indulging yourself in morning, noon and night. When you are putting other things, maybe sports, maybe your family, whatever it may be, before him, hear his voice and come to him, because he's the good shepherd. And if you're not one here today who has heard the voice of the good shepherd, which means that you're not a follower of his, which means that you will not be granted eternal life, which means that you will perish in the end, then on the authority of Jesus himself, I appeal to you to pay attention to these words of Jesus and believe. Believe in him. Believe that he is the I am. Believe that he is God. Believe that he is good in every sense that that word has. And believe that he is a shepherd who will love you and care for you intimately and guarantee you, and he can certainly do that now in an absolute sense because he has suffered, because he has been raised again from the dead. So he can absolutely guarantee you salvation in him. Look to the good shepherd. Listen to the good shepherd and be saved.